it's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where we have done our best over the past almost 6 years now to bring an understanding, I guess is the way I would like to word it, to everyone that we are so much more complicated than what you might think we are. We are physical, of course, in nature. We are emotional. Most of us understand our emotions to some degree, at least. We are spiritual and we are intellectual, and those four components make us who we are. But I would say that in most instances, the majority of people have one or two of these areas kind of balanced and the other two not so much. And it kind of depends upon what your maybe business is. I've worked with athletes, and of course, they're physical specimens. But they have an anxiety naturally, because if they get injured, you know, their careers might be over, or certainly they can't perform to the level that they once performed at. If we are all into the intellectual, then we may not be very much in tune with our emotions, because everything has to be logical and it has to be analyzed. And I tell people we spend 95% of our time in our brains analyzing things throughout the day, and very little time in our heart, which is where our intuition is. And we actually have 40,000 brain cells in our hearts to help us make decisions. And we just don't go there very often. We stay in our heads. And of course, the spiritual link is to what I refer to as a higher power. It might be your guardian angels. It might be a spiritual mentor that's working with you. And so it's important to keep all of this in balance. And if you've ever been at a restaurant that has a wobbly table, you know, it's really annoying. I think most people put a sugar pack or something, a napkin underneath it, so that it levels it out and it's not constantly moving. So think of your life that way, is if you can balance out these four areas, your life is much easier. It's not as complicated to walk through a day if you can kind of keep these areas in balance. So if you go to my website, which is www.synergyconnectionradio.com, you'll see that there are about 450 archive shows there. And you can, you know, like go through different pages and maybe find different guests that you really have enjoyed in the past. There's one way to do it. On my podcast sites, there are also, I think, close to 200 shows now. And those shows, you know, you can listen to either on Spotify or Apple or Google or iHeartRadio. So it's available to you that way as well. And on the website, you'll also see a link to Boomers Forever Young. And this is a company that has sponsored the show since the beginning. And I have used their products for 7 years. I think it is one of the main reasons that I do stay healthy and that I healed from my fractured shoulder last November very quickly. So check out all of their products. We have a brand new one, and it's called Myotrol. So it's M-Y-O-T-R-O-L. And Myotrol is only being sold through Boomers. The scientist who invented it felt like this was a company that understood the importance of reverse aging. So if you're getting older and you don't like some of the things that you're seeing or experiencing, I would urge you to look at this Myotrol. I spoke with a lady the other day, because I do some of their health consultations for them. And I spoke to her, and she had had fibromyalgia diagnosed many years ago. She is using the Myotrol and has absolutely no symptoms anymore. And so this is a very, very special capsule. It looks like a big gel cap, much like an omega-3. It is all proprietary formula that's in it. But give the company a call and chat with them about maybe using the Myotrol. I have been using it for the last 3 months. I will tell you that my stamina and my endurance has greatly increased. And I'm a very, very busy person. So I appreciate the fact that I no longer am tired at the end of my day. So check out Myotrol, Myotrol. All right, I have as a returning guest, Karen Herrick. And Karen and I are going to be talking about whether death is an altered state of consciousness, which I think is really cool because I've been studying the near-death experience for, gosh, almost 40 years. And I've gone to different conferences and things of that nature over that time. And I guess the APA, the American Psychological Association, has published a book recently, and they've been looking at 150 years of research in this particular area to try to figure out what happens after we die. And Karen, you're going to be doing a webinar, I guess, in a couple of months.
Yeah, like January.
Yeah, and you're going to be talking about this topic, aren't you? The near-death experience. And
I am.
yeah, so that is super exciting. Maybe I'll have a chance to join the webinar and listen to you.
Oh, sure. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I think
So
it's go ahead.
I was just going to say, so with this topic, I'm curious to hear what you have to think about. Is it an altered state of consciousness? Do we simply leave this physical body of ours, which, as you and I know, is just a vibrational frequency, but it's on an earthly plane? Does the frequency change? And we
Oh, yeah.
just move into that altered state, but we're still maybe here for a while, checking on things. Do we stay here in this dimension? Do we go to another dimension? Do they actually have some thoughts on that?
Well, they talk about a subtle body, which is an old term. The gentleman that wrote this is Imanence Barrose, and he's from Canada, and he's a researcher. And I just think it's wonderful that he got into the APA somehow and made them look. Now, this is only the publishing end of the APA. It's not the diagnostic end, which we want to get into eventually, so that they can help therapists learn more about this. But of course, our spiritual life is formed in our physical life, and so that's one of the reasons why I continue to teach this, because I think it's so important that you know and have an idea of what might happen to you when you go over to the other side in your spiritual body. And of course, we've talked before about the vagus nerve and how I think that's the main way that we do that, and no one else has really picked up on that yet. But we'll see what happens. One of the things I like about this book is that number one, he talks about how he doesn't use the research, the usual educational research in writing the book. He used all the things that I've been teaching for at least 10 years, using all the other books that were written by people in the paranormal activity and mediums and spiritualism. William James, and so William James, of course, is our first psychologist that really in America kept trying to tell us that there were varieties of spiritual experiences and we should pay attention to them. And of course, he went and he had his White Crow medium. So he did go to medium readings because he had lost a toddler child, but also because he believed that it was telepathic and that you could learn something from, telepathy. One of the biggest terms about that I loved about this book when I first opened it's on page 28, I think, is called the Boggle threshold. And because that's what I've been fighting for all these years, and you too, if you're teaching, about energy. But the Boggle threshold is mentioned, which indicates the level at which the mind reacts with a negative reaction that is caused by bizarre ideas and the improbability of a phenomena. So, so many people think we're nuts when we talk about this, right? But, it just made so much sense to me that he had a name for what I was always trying to fight, which was what people could believe. But so I'm going to talk about that and how I hope to unsettle their boggle threshold a little bit with because education is what's needed to really chip away at this threshold. And oh yes, I could believe in that part, or I could believe there. And And then more people would be able to understand what happens when they're sitting at the deathbed of a loved one.
I'm Dr. Raymond Moody. I mean, he did so much work, years ago in beginning to bring this to the forefront, because some of his patients would tell him what happened in the operating room. And I remember one case in particular where the person said she was floating above her body in that near-death experience, but then she went above the hospital and she could see a red tennis shoe in the gutter.
That's right.
And so she reported that, and they went up, and sure enough, there was a red tennis shoe in the gutter. So when you have actual factual ways of checking on these things, and there's you can't refute that.
No, but it was the gutter on the 9th or 10th floor. So,
Yes, yeah. It was way up there.
because your spiritual body, when you leave your physical body, it is not affected by gravity, so you float upward. Now, you mentioned near-death experiences, and that is really what this gentleman has used as proof. Excuse me, of all these anomalous experiences, which is what psychology calls a paranormal. But deathbed phenomena, the things that Raymond Moody really created, after death communication. All the little, we find coins and birds and all that kind of stuff that remind us of our loved ones. And then mediumship talks a lot about mediumship. So I can see that's going to be more of a future study, hopefully. And then possession, which is a negative part of spirits, but psychology is interested in that. And then past life, which, Americans don't really, I think there's only 24%. Depends on the age of the person that believe in past life.
Can I share something with you when you
Oh,
talk about
please.
past life? So I had a reading, which is what they call them, done. Probably it'll be 3 years ago at Christmas time. And there are a couple people that have been in my life in many lifetimes. And I knew that because you just have that sense there is this connection.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people get that. But what was so unusual is in this lifetime, the person had me go back and then tell her what I was seeing and where I was. And, it was like I was very aware that I was talking. It wasn't like I was not aware of what I was saying. And so
Right.
it's like it feels like it's above Maine. I said, but I don't know the name of where we are. But it feels like it's up high, like above Maine. And so I later found out it was Nova Scotia.
Right.
And I was in a community at that moment that was mostly women because it was a Viking village. And the village, the men were gone because they were at sea because they were looking for new territories.
Right.
But it turns out that the man that I currently am dating now is. Was related at that time to one of my dear friends. They were brothers at that point. And the brother was a cleric in the village. So he didn't go out to get on the boats to go places. But I was a healer. And I saw that I was chosen as a very little girl by this, what I perceived to be an old woman that was kind of bent over. And she was teaching me all about herbs. And so I later became, her apprentice and then a healer. And I
Right.
was told later that whatever you are in one lifetime, you usually are in every lifetime.
Yes, some
And of
form.
course, yeah. And so I've been pretty much a healer and working in the medical areas or in the psychological areas, all of these different lifetimes. What I found fascinating was that after that reading was done, I started doing research. Because I could see the home that I lived in. It was very clear to me. And so I started looking at Viking villages, and they have only recently, like in the last 20 years or something, discovered this Viking village in Nova Scotia, and they've unearthed a lot of what the primitive dwellings would look like. It was in the 1400s that I lived there.
Right.
And it was exactly what I was seeing, exactly. And so I was like, oh my goodness, this is exciting.
It's great when you can validate it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it is. All right. Well, what they start with is the normal state of consciousness, which is your normal state of a person or an animal, that stable configuration of consciousness, what you're used to every day. And then there's an altered state of consciousness, which is not an ordinary waking state. Then they talk about phenomenal consciousness, which I really liked because it's experiencing subjective events, which has a certain quality that is very personal to whoever's feeling it. So now we have definitions to exactly what it is that is going on when somebody sees maybe the spirit body of their grandmother leave the bed, and they explain these different qualities, but that they're very personal, and so the stories are going to be different. And he talks about the purpose of science is to know something rather than just believe things, which includes reconsideration of things that we thought we knew. And he says he's not using a lot of academic books because they don't guarantee credibility, which I love. And he scrutinized the quality of other books. And of course, the near-death experiences are really big because so many people go into other states. And then when they come back, they have some kind of paranormal ability they never had, you know. And when they go there to this other place, they see past lives, and so maybe they didn't believe in past lives here, but now they do. So that's part of the near death too, is that you get to review this life, but also other lives. So Raymond Moody really his creativity of the term near death has really helped us collect all this. They talk about the dying seem to control the process of death.
In what way? In what way? I'm
They
curious about.
didn't, talk a lot about that, but I think it's true because I know I have a couple friends that have said, their father would or older relative, they get to the point where everybody comes and they're going to say goodbye. And then the guy revives. It happens like three or four times. And people are just tired of flying in for
Well,
the dead, you know?
now I will share again, with
Yes.
that particular area. When my husband died, which is now coming up on 7 years in October, when you say controlling death, he absolutely 100% did, because he was at hospice care at that point, and they told me to go home at 7:30 that night, and they
Right.
said we'll be in the morning. And I said, "Are you sure?" And they said, "Absolutely, it'll be in the morning." So I go home, I get in my jammies, I'm watching something on television. It's like 10 o'clock, and I get a phone call from his daughter in Minneapolis saying, "Has hospice reached you?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Well, they've been trying to get you." I look at my phone, and there were two missed calls from hospice, but my phone never rang. His son lived 40 minutes away. There were two calls to him, and his phone never rang because we kept our phones right beside us. So
Absolutely.
he did not want us there when he died. But when I got there, it was like maybe 5 minutes after he had died. And most people at death, their bodies get cold fairly quickly. His body did not get cold for 2 hours. In fact, his skin stayed warm. His face had color in it until the coroner got there, because this was Halloween, and the coroner didn't get there until 1 o'clock in the morning. And so it was a number of hours. And the nurse kept saying, "I don't understand. I don't understand." And once the coroner came and they put him in like a little quilted bag, and at that point, when I was able to say goodbye, then his face was white and his body was cold. So I knew that he was showing all of us in that room that the human spirit, if you will, the soul, can do anything, could orchestrate all of that to prove, because he knew that I believed that we are vibrational frequencies. And I think that was his way of saying, "You know what? You're right, and I'm showing you that you're right."
It's also interesting, and Of course, more books will come from this, but that all of this is being verified now, and stories like yours are really being counted, you know, because that's what we need. And that's what William James said. He said, always collect the stories, you know, of the people that are in front of you.
Well,
One of the
you can use my two stories in your conversations that you're
Oh,
going
okay.
to.
All
So
right, good.
feel free.
Thank you. One of the fun stories he talks about is Oscar the cat, who was in this nursing home and in Rhode Island, Newport, Rhode Island. And he had the ability to anticipate a resident's death. And he ignored residents that were very sick. They weren't dying. They're very sick, but we don't have to worry about them. So the nurses started paying attention. Instead, he jumps up on the bed and snuggles with those who do die several hours after his arrival. And he's presided over deaths of more than 25 residents, and this was 2007.
Oh my gosh.
And his behavior is so predictable that the staff sends for a resident's relatives when he acts in his usual manner. So I thought that was just fun. And who knows what that cat is feeling when he feels death? You know, they think that's wonderful.
It could be. I mean, this is just a hypothesis of mine
Right.
that this term that they use called transitioning, that the spirit moves in and out of the
Yeah.
physical body at that point. And cats in particular are very sensitive to movement. I think
Right.
that they feel these things. And so if he's jumping up on the bed of a patient, he probably is feeling the energy
Oh,
that
yeah.
it's moving out of the body and then going back in the body. And so, you know, curiosity killed the cat kind of thing. So he's checking it out because he can see and feel that energy.
Yeah. So that's just a fun story. And maybe people have more animal stories too. They talk about the facts of experience, and that I just love that we're going to be collecting more and more of those. And they're capricious, discontinuous, and not easily controlled. And they require particular people for their production. But they're very significant in people's lives. And that's what we really have not taken into effect. You know, I mean, you and I would if we're listening to a story of someone, but many people just poo-poo all of that and don't listen. So now more people will be paying attention to that. And of course, they talk about the senses of hallucination from the 1880s, which was a big test in the psychological world of five countries, where they tested, not tested, but researched different people and said, if you have seen a ghost or an apparition within a certain number of hours after death, please write us. And it was consistent to every country that people told these stories. And then so they call them sane hallucinations. And I think that's a wonderful term. We should bring that back.
I love that term. That is
Isn't
a
that? Yeah. And that needs to be, I think, talked about more and more. Mindsight is a new word. I wanted to tell you about that. And their definition of mindsight is seeing directly with the mind. The psyche sees in the sense of some combination of perception and knowledge, and which they say gives psychological attributes to the spiritual body. So that when people are in the near-death state, they're not using their eyes, you know, they're not smelling through their nose. It is through their mind and their body, because that's what's up there, the conscious, the unconscious, and your soul. So I love that mind sight. So we're going to be learning more and more about that, I think.
That's really interesting. Are there, I don't know, nursing homes or hospitals are so busy, but and not that nursing homes aren't, but the
Right.
nursing home staff sees patients over and over again,
Yes.
a little bit more than I think, you know, the hospital situation. And so is there anybody that they're collecting information from
Not
in
yet, you know, that's why I really wanted to, you know, tell other people about this book, because number one, it's like a $60 book, so how many people are going to buy it? And then and really, do they think it's significant? Well, I think it's significant because in 1994 they had the statistics about near-death experiences and mystical experiences, that 30 to 40% of the population was having them in the United States and Great Britain. And they didn't publish that in the diagnostic manual. They ignored it completely.
Really?
So now it's, 2023, and when he wrote the book, and now they're kind of going to take a peek.
Yeah.
And this is still going to take time, but I hope to be, one of the people that can really help explain. And I'm going to interview some people at the APA and just see. I have an article that I did, I don't know, maybe 2014, about that fact that they ignored this, that they could legitimize spiritual experiences in the diagnostic manual if they wanted to, but
Right.
they had a big chance to do that.
You know,
So
I think that they don't give it maybe much credibility, and this is sad, but it's kind of the way I interpret things, I guess, is if there's not a pharmaceutical for it,
yes. Well, sure.
yeah, then because your DSM book, I mean, I used it for years and years and years. It was all about a diagnosis. And then the pharmaceuticals would come in and say, okay, we can reduce anxiety, we can reduce depression, we can help to control bipolar behaviors. But if it's near death, what are they going to do about it? I mean, there really isn't anything other than recognizing that you're not crazy if you've experienced it.
But that's important.
Exactly, it is. But there's no like pharmaceutical drug that you're going to use as an intervention. And I really think sometimes that your DSM code books and your other surgical trauma units and things like that, if they can't fix it, then their view is so what?
Yeah, that's right. Let
And,
it,
right.
just let it kind of hang there, right?
Exactly. Which is very frustrating for people like you and myself, because it is a real situation that they've experienced.
Yeah. So my webinar in January is going to be on, it's called Mind Over Matter, a Cultural and Scientific Exploration of Consciousness. And I'm going to also incorporate cultures, different cultures. But as I'm studying different cultures, most of them really do believe in an afterlife of some
Yes, they
kind.
do. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. The Jewish people, we have a little problem with, different denominations there. But so I'm looking forward to examining some of these new terms and then talking about different cultures. And that would bring in more therapists too that might be interested,
Absolutely.
Oh, another thing that he does not mention, because I have searched the book for this. I don't know if you're familiar, if I've ever talked about this before, but in 1875, there was a photographer, a spiritualist named William Mumler, Mumler. He wrote a book on spirit photography. And poor Mr. Mumler, he's just like this kind of basic guy in New York City, and he ran a photography studio. And what would happen is people would come in and he'd take their picture, and he always touched the camera as he squeezed a whatever you squeeze to take the picture. And in some pictures, there would be spirits behind the person that would come out in the photograph. Now, most people didn't mind this, especially if the spirits were theirs, but many times they were not. They were just people. And in the research I've done, Clara Barnett was one of my ladies that I researched from. She taught at Lilydale, other mediums. And she said that there's so many spirits standing, wanting to come in when pictures are taken, that you're very lucky to get your own spirit. But anyway, this gentleman comes in, has his picture taken. There's like three or four people behind, spirits behind him. And he says, "Well, who are these people? They weren't," he says, "they weren't here." And he says, "No, I know." He said, "I don't understand it, but that happens sometimes." And he says, "Well, this is fraud." He said, "I paid to have my picture taken. I don't want other people in my picture." He said, "You should go to jail for doing this." And he actually called the police, and the man was taken to the tombs.
Oh my gosh.
And he spent 4 months in the tombs waiting for trial. And then he had his lawyer had P.T. Barnum defend him, which really made no sense to me if you read it in the way it's described. But what P.T. Barnum did was he said, "Your Honor, we have photography, that's new. We have the telegraph, and that's new." And he said, basically, we don't know why these things happen. but they just happened, and this man had no intent to defraud this gentleman. And so he was found not guilty. But it's interesting that I came across this Dr. William Tiller, professor of material science and engineering at Stanford, and he was a government consultant on solid state physics, showing how photographs will actually reveal or hide objects depending on the psychic ability of the photographer.
Wow, isn't that interesting? So they knew they could enter in his space.
Yeah, no, he died in 2022. So too bad he wasn't around
Yeah.
for William Mumler. He could have helped him get out of the tombs, maybe.
Well,
But it just explains so much. And I'm going to show some pictures that of the, the spirits that jumped in. And then this Mr. Mumler, once he got out of jail, he did do a photograph of Lincoln's wife, Mary Todd. And there was a shape, just a not like the other spirits came in, but a shape of Abraham Lincoln behind her.
oh my goodness. Wow, how
That
fascinating.
was his famous, picture that he took.
Right. Well, our show is over for the day. So
Okay.
tell people how they might be able to join your webinar and also how they can contact you. And of course, that information will also be at the synopsis of the show on the podcast sites.
Okay. Well, mostly right now you can get me through email, Karen at KarenHerrick.com. And if you want to see some other things that I have talked about, you can go on my website, which is Karen E. Herrick, HERRICK.com, has other podcasts on there and different things, different webinars that I've done. So the email is the best way. And if you want to sign up for this webinar in January, go to CE, capital C, capital E, capital YOU dot org. And so that's certified educational credits. Now, even if you're just an interested person, you don't have to take the get the credits. You can just watch the webinar and be able to ask questions and chat in the chat box. And
Okay, so
that'll be a 3-hour webinar, and usually they're two,
oh,
but it'll be 3 hours.
3 hours. Okay. Well, it's all just super fascinating, of course, to me.
I
And
love
I hope
it.
it is to a lot of people that are listening to the show. So please share with others when you get an opportunity. They can find the show again at Synergy Connection Show. If they go to Spotify and type that in, or Apple, those are the two major platforms. And so all of the shows are archived in there. And thank you so much for being my guest again, Karen.
Well,
And
thank
I hope
you for asking.
you're welcome. And I hope everyone goes out there and makes this your very best life. And we'll see you next time on the Synergy Connection Show. Bye-bye, everyone.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.